Today's message comes from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You know, those three verses have a great deal of power in them. What I want to do is to look at each verse individually so that we can truly see what God is telling us through these verses. Starting with verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So what does that mean to us today? What is God's word clearly trying to tell us? My commentary said that those in Christ will be given and get this, every spiritual blessing needed for the past, the present, and the future for your body, your soul, and your spirit. God has blessed us with blessings from the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So how does it make you feel knowing that the God of everything, the God that created everything, has blessed you and will bless you with every blessing you need in every aspect of your life? How does that make you feel? Again, verse 3 says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Why does he do that? Why did he do that? Because he loves us, and he only wants what is best for us. I know we have our own plans on how we want to live our life. I was taught in a school and college to have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan. Plan your work and work your plan. You want to make God laugh? Yeah, tell him your plans. God wants what's best for us. And you know, as much as we think we know what we need and that we have a great plan, God's plan, I can guarantee you, is better than ours. Even before he made the world, verse 4 says, even before he made the world, God loved us. And he chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Have you ever really stopped to take that in, to think about the fact that even before God made the world, He was not only thinking about you, but He loved you. And He chose you. Every one of you, He chose you to be holy and without fault in His eyes. We didn't choose God. God chose us first. God chose us for a reason. He created us for a purpose. Over the years, all the way back through Atlanta, I've asked people, what is your purpose in life? What did God create you to do? And unfortunately, a lot of people said, I don't know. And yes, we're human. It's hard to know what God's plan is for us, but we'll look at that here in just a little while. God chose us for a reason. He then created us for a purpose. He has a plan for each one of us. He has something that He wants each one of us to do. And God is blessing us and guiding us and has given us the God-given potential to serve Him. Did you realize that? God has given us a God-given potential. Now, some people may have a problem believing this, saying, why would God choose me? I'm not important. I'm just me. Why would God choose me to do something for Him? Out of all the people in the world, why would He choose me? I'm nothing. I'm just a nobody. I've got nothing to offer. Well, if somebody told that to me, which they have, my response would be, why would God choose you? Why not you? Especially if they're in church. Why would God choose you? Well, why not you? Remember, He chose you for a reason. Created you for a purpose. For many years, and I'll put this one on me, growing up in life, as a teenager, young adult, I thought my purpose in life was to sit in back then the pews. Because every Sunday, that's what we would do. We'd come in, we'd sit in the pews. Give the offering plate as it went by. And I thought that was it. That was my job. This is pre-Christian days, as a matter of fact. Just wanted to make that clear. But throughout Scripture, we see how God uses everyday people like you and me to do great things through His power. Not us. But I have nothing to offer. Well, when Jesus fed the 5,000, the little fella came up with a basket. And he said, I don't have much to offer, not with all these people, but here's what I can give you. And we know how that story went. There was food left over. But too often we look at ourselves and say, why me? I'm not special. I don't have anything to offer. I look in the mirror. I can't see that I'm special, that I can do anything or have anything. Not to offer God, because I'm just me. Now, at this point, I'm going to pause for a second, because I want to make two different verbal illustrations to help make my next point. Two things I want us to look at. The first is a diamond, a beautiful, brilliant diamond. Secondly, the second illustration is a simple piece of coal. Now, these two things are totally opposite from an outward appearance. Do you agree? Good. I saw a couple of heads shaking. So I want to use these two totally different items to make a point. You look at a diamond, what do you see? You see an item of beauty and great worth. Now, what do you see when you look at a piece of coal? Not much, huh? It looks like a black rock. But you don't see much worth or any value in that black rock. And here's my point. We cannot see any value in that black rock, but God can. But God can. God can see great value and potential in those few pieces of coal that he has chosen to be special. God may look at thousands of pieces of coal and only choose a few pieces to be special. Because God knows that those chosen pieces will be transformed by him. And over time, will produce a beautiful diamond. From the beginning of time, God placed a potential in those few pieces of coal, knowing that one day they would reach their God-given potential and produce a diamond of great wealth. Too often we look at ourselves and say, why me? Why would God choose me to do something special for him? I'm nothing special. I have nothing to offer. You see, we think this, I believe, because we're human. We look at ourselves and we tend to see a piece of coal. Because it's hard for us to see that God-given potential that God has placed in each of us. We are known like, we are like what's known as a diamond in the rough. So what is a diamond in the rough? I looked up a definition and I'd like to read it for you and listen closely. A diamond in the rough refers to a person or thing that has exceptional qualities or potential within them that they are unable to see. at the present time, but has the ability to reach their potential. Let's listen to that one more time. A diamond in the rough refers to a person or thing that has exceptional qualities or potential within them. They are unable to see those qualities at the present time, but they have the ability to reach their potential. And yes, we look at ourselves and it's hard to see that God-given potential that He has put in each one of you. But God can. God placed that in you for a reason. Because God knows your true wealth, your worth, your value. We can't see His potential, but God can. He knows your worth. He knows your value. Some may say, well, that may be good for someone else, but I don't see how God can use me, even knowing that. All right, let me toss another question at you. I've asked this question before, but are you breathing? No, I'm serious. Think hard, think hard. Are you breathing? Yes, good. Okay, now here's the next question that's going to be very hard to answer. Why? Why are you breathing? Well, George, I can answer that one. I've got a good heart. Yeah, me too, George. My lungs are doing great. Wrong answer. You're breathing because God is not finished with you yet. God still has a plan for you if you allow God to mold you and make you after His will. That's why you're still breathing. Because God's not finished with you. It's hard to realize that you are important and special to God, and that He created you with a potential to do good things for Him. It's hard to understand that. But tell you what, let's listen as we read Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Jesus Christ so that we can do good things He planned for us long ago. So you might say, okay, George, but how do we know God's plan for us? All this sounds great. I would love to know what God has in store for me. And the answer is not that hard. Ask Him. Ask Him. I remember before I had accepted Christ as my Savior, I kept hearing scriptures over and over and sermons over and over. And then one day I'm driving my car and I'm hearing something on the radio, and I could feel the Spirit of God. And He was drawing me to God. And I remember driving my car saying, "Lord, if you're out there, if you're out there, Jesus, if you're out there, let me know." Because I hear all this stuff, and it sounds great. But if you're real, somehow, let me know. Ask Him, and He will answer. It may not be right away. I doubt it will be in an audible form where you hear someone talking. But I guarantee you, if you wait and listen, God will reach you somehow and reveal Himself to you. He did to me. And when He did, I'm like, wow. And I'm one of those that used to be kind of skeptical. And I'm like saying, "Okay, Lord, I believe you just answered my prayer. But can you confirm it to make sure that it is you?" And He did. So you want to know what God's plan is for you? Say, "Lord, why did you create me? According to your word, God, you loved me before you created the world. You knew about me before you created the world. You knew the day I would be born, the day I'm going to die. How many hairs are on my head and how fast they're falling out. You know me better than I know me. So tell me, Lord, what is your plan for me? Help me to do my part." And then listen. He will answer. And chances are, your part, and it could be a whole realm of things, is in an area that you probably enjoy doing. Scripture talks about several things that people are called to do. You know, pastor, preacher, evangelist. But there's so many things that God could be calling different people to do. Just ask Him, "Lord, I want to know what it is you want me to do." Just ask Him, "Reveal yourself to me. And reveal to me, Father, what it is you want me to do." We may not see much in ourselves when we look ourselves in the mirror. But we need to remember, to God, we are His masterpiece. God created us anew in Christ. Why did He do that? To do good things He planned for us to do long ago. Before the beginning of time, He thought about you over and over. He has plans for you because when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. God says, yes, you're a child of God. You're my masterpiece. And then hopefully we try to get to know God better as we study His Word, spend time with Him in prayer. But our Christian life gets so much better when we say, yes, Lord, use me. Yes, Lord, here I am. Use me. I don't have much to offer, but help me give you what little bit I have. And when you see God work in your life and through your life, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. See, God wants a very close relationship with us. He just doesn't want to see us in church on Sundays and then go home and forget that we were at church on Sundays. Years ago, I heard a term during discipleship class. How many people here went through discipleship? Raise your hand. Uh-huh. A lot of us. Just an off-the-cuff question. What have we done with that since we went through it? We learned all kinds of stuff. We had to do things. We learned about giving our testimonies. We learned about a lot of stuff. But God has a plan for each one of us. And to give God an opportunity to use us will touch your life like it's never been touched before. When you realize how much God loves you and how much God wants to work through you to touch somebody else's life. The creator of the universe thinking that you are special, knowing that you are special to God. He wants the very best for us. Some people say, yes, Lord, I want to know your plans. And I'm all for it. As long as it doesn't interfere with my plans. Because we know what our plans are. And they may be good. But the creator of everything has better plans for you. And I wonder if it hurts him when we keep saying, nope, I'm good where I am. When you feel the God moving in your soul, in your spirit, don't miss that chance to say, yes, Lord. I want to get closer to you. I never thought that you would ever want to use me for anything, but Lord, here I am. Use me. And if you're a little timid, it's okay. It's okay to say, Lord, I need your help. If you're calling me over here, that's stretching me a little bit. Help me, Lord, to do what you want me to do. Because I cannot do it on my own. And God says, good. Lord, I've done everything on earth. I've done everything I can here on earth to do this. God said, good. Now rely on me. On my strength instead of yours. Everybody's afraid that God's going to call them to go to Africa. Well, guess what? If he does, he will equip you to go over there. And you will be blessed by going over there. He will equip you if you go to West Virginia to help with a group that goes over there to help the needy. Donna, you cooked a lot, didn't you? This little lady cooked meals for how many people? Three meals? Three meals a day for 130 people. She had help, yes. Well, that's not a ministry. Oh, yes, it is. Folks are over there fixing roofs, building things, helping people. She's feeding them. Even when you do what we consider a small thing, cooking is not a small thing. Well, all I could do is this. Well, guess what? There are no small ministries. All I can be is a door greeter. That's wonderful. My goodness. Thank you. That is great to welcome people into the house of God. Glad you're here. Come on in. Glad to see you. Some people say, I'd love to sing up here, but you don't want to hear me sing. Guess what? If you step up to sing, to join the group, let's sit tight. But you say, I can't sing nothing. That's okay. They can turn the mic off. But you said, yes, Lord, use me. And you thought he said, go sing. And you stepped out. Guess who's going to be blessed? You are. That's right. God knows best where we belong. I remember I prayed for a job years ago. I lost my job here in Virginia. And I prayed for a job. A buddy of mine had a business. He said, come on over here. I'm hiring it. And I said, wow, great. And I prayed for that job. Prayed for that job. Didn't get it. I'm like, Lord, what happened? I prayed for that job. You didn't give it to me. Why? That's not fair. I wanted it. I prayed for it. 2 weeks later, that plant closed. Okay, Lord. I'll give that one to you. God sees things we can't see. He knows the future. He knows the potential he has placed in each of us that we cannot see until we ask God. But we love to make excuses. Well, I'm too short to help God. I'm too thin to help God. I'm too big to help God. Favorites, I'm too old to help God. Guess what? The Billy Graham Evangelical Association, most of the evangelists, part-time evangelists, that are out there here in the U.S. doing their thing are retired people. And that's a fact. Even when we get older, oh my goodness, look in the Bible. How many old folks did he use then? Now, I'm not saying anybody in here is old, no. But 90 plus, and God used them. We are God's masterpiece. And yes, that's hard to see because we see our flaws. We know the mistakes we've made in the past. But guess what? So does God. He wants to use us, flaws and all. I passed a church the other day driving down, and the title of their sermon today was Bless This Mess. So if you want to When you pray to God, say, Lord, bless me. Bless my mess. Because I have messed up more times than I want to count. And guess what? You're not going to surprise God. God says, I already know. Why do you think I sent my son to the cross? To pay the price for your sins. See, God wants to take us to the next level. That should be exciting to us. We are His masterpiece. He loves us better than anyone here on earth ever could. He created us anew in Christ so that we can do good things that God planned for us long ago. But like I said, we tend to look in the mirror and all we see is a piece of coal. But you know, I'm here to tell you, God sees a brilliant diamond in every one of you here today. No matter what you think about yourself, God sees you. God sees the potential in you that He placed there, that He knows you can reach if and only if you turn to God and say, Lord, help me. Reach down where I am right now. Take me by the hand and lead me. See, God wants to transform us into the person He knows we can become. But too often we are afraid we'll fail. Well, guess what? If we do, He's going to be right there to pick us up. Have you ever learned from your mistakes? Yeah. Sometimes we have to make mistakes to learn. But at least you tried. God has chosen everyone here today to do something special for Him. He's got a plan for each one of you. And all you need to do is to ask Him to reveal that to you. Because He's got a plan for you, and it gave Him great pleasure to come up with your unique plan. And verse 5 drives that point home. Listen to verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and this gave Him great pleasure. That's my boy down there. That's my daughter down there. God chose us, adopted us, brought us to Him through Jesus Christ. You see, it's through God's love for us that we were created by God, chosen by God, adopted by God through Jesus Christ. This is what God wanted to do. And as I said, it gave Him great pleasure. Now, if you gave God a chance to work through your life, how do you suppose you would feel then? You think you would be blessed? Does it have to be something big? No. Something the world could use today would be kindness. You don't hear that anymore. Hospitality is something that you don't hear about anymore. But guess what? I think we would be blessed if we would be kind to other people. Not just friends, but folks you don't know. Step out of your comfort zone. Open a door for somebody. When you're in Walmart, somebody is looking up at a shelf because they've got to get something up there because he or she is vertically challenged. If you can reach it, say, "Ma'am, sir, let me get that for you." Serve others. Well, that's nothing special. It doesn't seem like it, but yes, it is. How much better would the world be if we started looking out for each other? You see, God created us because He's got a plan for us. I said earlier, long before He created the world, He thought about us and has a plan for us. And you might say, well, where in the Bible does it say God's got a plan for me, meaning you? Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to help you. Plans to help you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So there it is, God's word in plain English. He has a plan for everyone here today. And yes, you are that important to God. Remember, you are God's masterpiece. See, and God wants to change you and to mold you into the person He wants you to become. Once we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, the transformation process began. God wants the very best for us, and the best place to be is in the middle of His will for you. So how do you reach our God-given potential? Ask Him. Ask Him, yes, with your mouth, but with your heart as well. So here's my question for the day. How willing are you to allow God to mold you and make you after His will? How willing are you? You know, I'm going to read a few words. And I'm going to read these few words as a prayer. I would like for you to listen to them, not with your ears, but with your heart. In fact, close your eyes so that your heart can hear and also pray this short prayer. Let us pray. Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I'm waiting, yielded, and still. And it's my prayer that you will be willing to let God take you and transform you into the person He wants you to become, to serve Him, and to reach your God-given potential that God has placed in you. in your heart. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And in your seats.